house here on a long weekend. I really was not expecting to have this many people. Obviously, you guys, when I plugged that Pastor Emma was preaching this week, you were all super excited and like, can't miss that.
Yeah.
I'm not going to go camping. I'm going to be here for Pastor Emma bringing the word at C3 Wellard. So good on all you guys for being here. You know, Pastor Emma is our associate pastor. She oversees a whole lot at both locations. Usually she's at C3 Fremantle, but we're so blessed to have her here at C3 Wellard this morning. And as I said 2 weeks ago, guys, let's have a cultivated expectancy and anticipation, a front-footedness about the word that she's bringing this morning. I'm sure it's going to bless you and impact you and give you another revelation of just how good our God is. So with that, would you all just give Pastor Emma a hand and welcome her.
How's that, Jason? Oh, there we go. Why don't you give it up for the AV team? Jason Doss, June. He does a fantastic job. I really am so thankful for the people who know how to do technical things.
Yeah.
It is a gift. You have it. So, yeah, love being here at Wellard. I love being here in our neighbourhood. And Pastor Barry and Michelle, campus pastors, you have great pastors here. I always say you're in good hands, so good to be here on a Sunday in his house, hey? It's good to be here. It's good to be here. Let's just pray. Father God, we thank you for your word today. We thank you that your Holy Spirit is active and moving and leading and guiding each one of us today as we hear your word, Father God. Let us receive your word. Let us deposit your word in our hearts, Father God, and respond to you, Father God, out of how you are working in and through our hearts today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So this message today is based around one very small passage of scripture in Galatians 5. It's just a few short verses, but it's a power-packed passage that I just wanted to unpack and really bring life to you this morning. So it's in Galatians 5, verses 13 to 16. I'm going to read it to you and then we're going to unpack it more. For you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters. But don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. For the whole law can be summed up in this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. But if you are always biting and devouring one another, watch out. Beware of destroying one another. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. Our theme for this year is freedom, and this is such a great scripture to look at in how we are called to live in freedom. You know, God really has called us to live in freedom and to just walk in the freedom that he has for you and I. And this word called in the Greek is translated to kalao, which means to be called aloud by name and invited. So, Michael, you have been called. Can you imagine God just calling you by name into the freedom that he has for you, where you are not bound by being a slave to sin, by being a slave to things that can bring destruction or bring pain or suffering to you. Actually, you're called to live in his freedom that he has for you. And so when we have this revelation, when we have this heart transformation of God's love for us, of what it really means for Christ, what it really meant for Christ, who was without sin, who was God, who took upon all of our mistakes so that we could believe in him, have his forgiveness and follow him, we can understand, accept and receive that we have been called to live in his freedom and not being a slave to our sin anymore. A few years ago, I came into contact with a mum who had a few children, and she brought her kids to some kids camps that we did a few years ago. So C3 Fremantle, I think this was before Evan Willard was born, we ran some children's camps for disadvantaged children, vulnerable children. And so I met this mum, and she came with the kids to this kids camp and journeyed with her just for a few years. And she had a long habit of drugs. And so, you know, when someone is in such slavery to something like that, this is probably about 20 years, you know, it's hard to comprehend that someone can walk out of that and into the freedom that God has for her. And so I would really pray and hope, but, you know, the reality is it's very, very difficult to walk out of something that has been so long-standing. She's been such a slave to it for such a long time. Her kids got baptized, and I would often ask her, you know, you've seen church, you know what God can do in your kids' lives. Do you want to be baptized? And I asked her a few times, and she said, no, I'm not ready yet, not ready yet. And she really was trying to get out of, you know, her addiction. She was trying to walk out of the slave that she was to this, but it was very challenging. It's very hard. I lost contact with her for about a year, and she reconnected with me October last year, and then in March of this year, she did get baptized. And she is free completely from that addiction. She's got freedom from that habit that she had been such a slave to. And so the reason why I want to talk about her, what I want to just bring this story to you, is because it was at the point where she really started facing the sin. She really looked at it head on, and she started facing the reasons why she was a slave to it. And the moment that she started doing that, the moment that she faced it and she looked at it and she was confessing it and she was repenting of it, she was walking out of it, that was where the freedom came. And the same is for you and I. We have this freedom that God wants us to enjoy and to be relishing in, and not being a slave to those things that just restrict us or hold us back or cause pain and suffering. And so our freedom is not to be used for our own sinful nature or for just, you know, for fleshly pleasures or just enjoying the things for the sake of it. Actually, our freedom is to be used to serve one another in love. This is what the word says, to serve one another in love. So I want to ask you today, what area of your life is stopping you from living completely in the freedom that God has for you? Because we all have our salvation, and yet we're still working out our salvation by continuing to walk completely in His freedom. So what area of your life is stopping you from living completely in the freedom that God has for you? What sin or mistake do you need to confess and repent of that can be transformed into freedom by serving one another in love? You see, God transforms us to leave behind our sin into His freedom. So how this works is, you know, you might be thinking negative thoughts. You might be thinking things that don't align with the Word of God. And so as we recognize that and we confess that and we repent of that, we turn away from that, the solution or the antidote to walking into the freedom is that we would serve each other in love. Yeah. This is what Galatians says. Don't use your sinful nature in the freedom that you have, but rather serve one another in love. And so God can transform our selfish nature into a selfless nature. God can transform our attitudes into ones that just serve others in love with a good attitude, a healthy attitude, an attitude of love towards one another. In John chapter 8, AV team, we don't need to get the scriptures up, that's okay. I'm just going to talk about this passage of scripture in John chapter 8. You can read it for yourselves. when there was a woman who was caught in the act of adultery, and the religious leaders and Pharisees bring her to Jesus. And these religious leaders and Pharisees want to trick Jesus into breaking the law and to have this woman stoned to get to death, which was the custom for what she had been caught in at that time. And so they bring this woman. She's caught in the act of adultery, so she's probably not got much on. It's very, very shameful. And they bring her to Jesus to be stoned to death. And Jesus says to these religious leaders and Pharisees who want to stone her, who ask him to stone her, he says, "All right, but let the one who has never sinned throw the first stone." And Jesus kneels down and writes in the sand. Now, what he writes has been much debated. Perhaps he was writing the people's names and their sin who were accusing the woman to be stoned. Whatever it was, one by one, the teachers of religious law and the Pharisees walked away. And it was just Jesus and the woman left. And Jesus asks her, "Where are your accusers? Didn't even one of them condemn you?" And here we see the woman's heart, where she responds to Jesus by saying, "No, Lord." And Jesus said, "Neither do I. Go and sin no more." We see in this moment that this woman who was caught in a very obvious sin, her heart recognized and acknowledged that Jesus is Lord. And Jesus sees our hearts. Jesus saw her heart, and he didn't need to condemn her. Jesus doesn't come to condemn. He comes to give us freedom. And that simple statement for her out of love towards her, "Go and sin no more. You're free." How beautiful our God is, how beautiful Jesus is in his act of love towards us, where he doesn't condemn, he gives us freedom. So these two cases, you know, and the story of you know, people who have walked out of addictions is such a common occurrence today. They're very obvious stories, you know, very obvious stories where we can see very clearly the woman caught in the act of adultery and people with an addiction. But what I want you to think about today is there's lots of unseemingly or hidden mistakes or sins that are not so obvious. It can be pride, it can be money, as Barry was talking about before. You can be a slave to your work. You can be a slave to just wanting to be entertained. It could be apathy. It could be hostility or complaining, selfishness, gossip. It could be a poverty mindset. You could be a slave to thinking that you're never going to have enough, that you're never going to get that job, that you're never going to, I don't know, be married or whatever it is. You can have it be a slave to your thinking, to your circumstances, where God actually says, "No, I have given you freedom. I'm a God of abundance. I'm a God of more than enough. I'm a God who loves you so much. He wants to give you good things. So you can trust in me. You can trust in me for that job. You can trust in me that there always will be more than enough, that you can give out of what you have, and I will pour back into you." And so this first part of following Christ, and, you know, I'm so grateful for the scriptures that have been brought up today, because this is something that we don't talk about a lot, of repentance, of actually walking out our salvation, of walking into the freedom that God has for us by turning away constantly from the things that restrict us or hold us down, or stop us from enjoying the freedom that we have in Christ. And so we will consistently turn towards God and serve one another in love. Mark 12, verses 29 to 31 just sums this up perfectly. Jesus says, "The most important commandment is this: listen, O Israel. The Lord our God is the one and only Lord, and you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. The second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. No other commandment is greater than these. Now we know that Jesus is quoting Deuteronomy. Jesus quotes the Old Testament. And the point here is these commandments: to love God, to love each other, to love our neighbours as ourselves. And so we're to use the freedom that we have to serve each other in love. So freedom to love, Galatians 5 verses 13 to 14. For you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters, but don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. For the whole law can be summed up in this one command: love your neighbour as yourself. This word love here is so simple. It just simply means to have a concern for others' well-being more than you have for yourself. That's all it is. And so a love like this is giving by nature. A love like this is sacrificial. A love like this is a nature to serve others. A love like this is personified through serving one. You know, before we're Jason, on the, so that key team that really birthed Wellard, and I know there are many other people who were involved with that, and they have faithfully served right from the start, set up, packed down. They have been faithful followers and servers, serving others. Such a great example of serving others in love. Sharmini and kids, and teaching the kids, and you know, Sharmini's been on kids' camps as well. And you know, these are such great people that we have to actually practically see how we do this. Think of Deanna, who comes in on a Friday up at Fremantle. She comes up most Fridays and she does whatever needs to be done to help both locations, whether that's setting up the welcome room or organising covers, rearranging things, and you know, things that you don't see but we see, and we're so appreciative for how Deanna serves others in love. So grateful. So going back to this woman who had that habit, the way that she came to the Lord was through a lot of different people, but primarily there was an elderly couple that were her neighbours, and they invested into her. They babysat her children, they mowed her lawns, they fixed her car when it needed fixing, they put petrol in her car, they paid for the repairs for her car. They would sit down with her and share the gospel with her. They showed patience, they showed love. They gave her meals when she needed to have meals. And can you see, out of their neighbourly love for her, out of their serving her in love, she came to the Lord. You see, this is the reason why we serve each other in Lord. It's to bring people into the kingdom of God. So simple, but it's so profound. So use your freedom to serve one another in love. Over and over in Scripture, we see how Jesus served people in love, how he taught, how he healed, how he cast out demons. He inspired his friends to share the gospel, to serve people in love. So we are true followers of Christ when we serve him in loving each other, in loving people in the community. We are truly living out our freedom we have in Christ by following and serving him in love for one another. And there's a few scriptures, you know, John 13 verses 34 to 35, giving a new commandment: love each other just as I have loved you. You should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. In John 12, 26, anyone who wants to serve me must follow me, because my servants must be where I am. And the Father will honour anyone who serves me. Our attitudes to serving, to be a servant, is really, really key. really key, that, you know, out of our heart will flow our attitude. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I can have a really stinky attitude. I can have a really bad attitude. And especially thinking about our family and, you know what, I just sometimes, often, I just don't want to cook a meal for my family. I just don't want to do it. I've had enough. Over and over again, they constantly eat all the time. It's breakfast, it's lunch, it's dinner. And you know what? I don't want to do it. I have a bad attitude. And, you know, God's really working on my heart in this area. And it's such a simple thing, but it, you know, it can really grow and fester and, you know, become the way that I don't serve my family when I need to be. And there are other ways where I just love to serve my family. You know, Bree and Josh do JYB, and you would think it would be a little bit silly to, you know, work a whole day at Fremantle, drive all the way back to Wellard to pick up the kids, to go all the way back up to Fremantle for JYB. But it's worth it, because I'm serving them. I'm investing in their spiritual walk with the Lord. It's through other people in our church community that are going to help them in their faith and their relationship in the Lord, and how Josh and Bri are teaching them about the Holy Spirit, and how, you know, my kids can really, they'll just learn so much more from these people than they will from their parents at this time, if they're teenagers. And so it's worth it, and I will serve them in this way, and I will drive them. I will get enough. It doesn't matter the distance or the travel. On Mother's Day, she kind of went to an event, and so with transport and things like that, you know, I want to serve my family and keep them safe. And so that meant driving an hour to drop her off in the morning and then driving another hour to pick her up. I think we got home around 2 a.m. that day. But you know what? I want to serve my family. I want to keep them safe. So that's easy. So it's just the area of meals. That's the record. But you know what? We've got this beautiful young woman, Alice, staying with us, and she has come from the Shetland Islands. She's on a working holiday visa, and she's ended up living at our home. That's a story in and of itself, but the agreement was for her to live with us, and she's probably going to stay with us, hopefully for at least a year. She might come back. I hope she will. And the agreement is that she is just to be. You just stay in our home. You're just to be. Just enjoy our home. You're part of our family. You know what's ours is yours, and all of that. And just do what you need to do. You're just welcome to be here with us. So we have no expectation of her to do anything for us. We just want her to be with us as an act of serving her. And so it very quickly became apparent that when I would put washing in the washing machine and come to hang it out, that it was already on the line. It became apparent that the windows of our glass door windows that I haven't cleaned in 5 years have been cleaned, and I can see straight out of them. It became quickly apparent that I opened up our linen cupboard and all our towels, our pillowcases, our bed sheets, everything was perfectly folded and positioned and just cleaned out. Now, you know, we have a family of six, so it's not like it's just a couple of doors. It's like four big doors with, you know, three or four shelving. And I could tell you so many stories. You know, she quickly knew that I love to have coffee, and so she would make a coffee before I even got the chance to turn the coffee machine on. She does this often. You know, she is serving our family in love without saying a word. She did not say a word. And this is such a powerful witness to Christ in her. She could see the need, and she met the need. And so the point I'm making is, if Alice had been in a family where they didn't know Christ, how she is and how she just, you know, bears witness of Christ in her through loving, through serving others in love, she's going to bring people to salvation. And so serving each other in love is very, 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 very powerful. Very, very powerful. And so our attitudes, going back to our attitudes. So, you know, let's have an attitude of gratefulness. Let's serve with gratitude. Let's serve with a joyful attitude. Let's serve with a willing attitude. Let's be reliable. Let's be on time for things or even early. Let's go above and beyond what's been asked of us. I remember in being in kids for many years, and we would have our junior leaders come in, and part of their training is we would get them to ask their leaders, so they would know what their expectations were, and then we would get them to ask their leaders at the end of the session, is there anything else I can do for you? And this became a common question that they would ask their leaders. And what we were teaching them is servant leadership. You see, it doesn't matter what position you're in, it doesn't matter what role you're in, it doesn't matter what you're doing, what the Lord has called you to do. It's that attitude towards Him that we are His servants and that we are serving each other in love. And so when we have this attitude really deep in our heart, then we will say, what else can I do for you? What else can I do for you? It's a question that I constantly ask the Lord. Lord, with what you have called me to do, what else? What else can I do? How else can I serve your people? How else can I serve you? The last point that I want to make today, because if you're anything like me, this can become quite overwhelming. It's, you know, serving people in love can become quite draining if you're constantly got an attitude of giving and giving and giving. It can become very draining. And look, there's been times where that has been the case, where I've said, Lord, I've sacrificed. I've been out late at night with people. I've done things for you. I'm tired, I'm exhausted, and I don't want to do it anymore. I don't want to have a place of actually just being completely burdened or completely drained and exhausted from serving people in love. And so the last part of the scripture is really, really key to being able to serve each other in love and serving people in the community, but not being drained or exhausted or burnt out. And Galatians 5:16 says, so I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your life. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The New King James Version says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walking in His Spirit. When we're walking in His Spirit, when we allow the Holy Spirit to lead and guide our lives, then we're just flowing out of what the Holy Spirit would have us do. And so we can't please everyone. God doesn't ask us to please everyone He just doesn't ask us to do that. He asks us to be led and guided by the Holy Spirit. And out of that there is faith. Out of that there is joy. Out of that there is not a burden. There's freedom. There's lightness. This week on Friday, I felt a real drawing to just spend time in prayer, in the Spirit. And so I locked myself in the bathroom. The bathroom is the most... the bathroom and the walk-in closet are the places where God speaks to me the most, where I have those real downloads from Him. And in this time of prayer, of just worshipping Him and praising Him and praying in the Spirit, He gave me that word. He said, you know what? Just walk in my Spirit. It's going to be okay. You don't need to be scared of being drained or being burnt out, but actually just walk in my Spirit. You know, Isaiah 40:31 is a scripture that came. You know, just spend time in prayer. Just spend time hearing and sensing and knowing the Holy Spirit leading and guiding you. And I will strengthen you and I will sustain you, and you will soar on wings like eagles. So our strength comes from the Lord, not doing it in our own might, but we serve each other in love out of His strength in us, out of Holy Spirit leading and guiding us. So walk in His Spirit. Spend time in prayer to our Father God. We are empowered and equipped to speak His word and do His will by the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And that's how we serve each other in love. I just want to read you this excerpt from Phil Pringle's book, Moving in the Spirit, as we come to a close. Phil Pringle says, Jesus found His joy, entertainment, and nourishment all in doing the will of God. When we are not seeking our own will, our decisions will be true and righteous. The will of God is an enjoyable thing. His will resides in our hearts, not just in our minds. It isn't simply that we know what the will of God is and do it. We also love the will of God. Church, can I ask you to stand as we think about this whole service, Sharmini talking about proclaiming and declaring that Christ is Lord of our life, that we are going to serve one another in love and we're going to serve our community. And so just right now with your hands outstretched, just your hearts open towards God, just allow Holy Spirit to lead you and guide you right now into the ways that you can serve Him, the ways that you can serve Him in His body, in the church. Join a team. Join a connect group. Lead a connect group. Whatever it is, God has something for you to do. Don't make excuses. Don't keep delaying, but turn towards God and face Him and serve each other in love in His church. And in your neighborhood, in your community, Holy Spirit, I ask that you would speak to each person right now. God, who, where, how can I serve others in the community that I live, that you have perfectly positioned and placed me at this very time to serve others in love? That people would come into your house, that people would find Christ, that people would see Christ in me, in how I am loving them in the community. Father God, I thank you for your presence. I thank you for your Holy Spirit that leads and guides us. Father God, I just thank you that you are a God who just calls us into freedom. You call us more and more into your freedom that is life-giving, that is a life of abundance. God, in those areas that we just need to lay aside or throw off, Father God, because they're not good for us. Lord, reveal those things to us, Father God, so that we can just leave them and we can serve you and we can love you and we can enjoy the freedom that you have for us. Guide each person here today by the power of your Holy Spirit, that that would be a blessing to those in the church, Father, and in the community. And Father God, as you pour more of your Holy Spirit into them, Father God, as you anoint each person here, Father God, with your Holy Spirit, Lord, that you would fill them up, Father God. You would fill them with the fullness of joy and the strength that comes from you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.